Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Home away from home. Home is where the heart is. Home by another way. Home again. Home is, I think we can all agree, more than a house. It's a place we return to again and again for security, for reassurance, for rest, for comfort. And yet, if we stay in it for too long, in that cocoon of comfort, and we get so comfortable, we may never leave. Now, there are those who cannot leave their homes physically because of physical limitations. They are exempt from this line of thinking. Comfort zones are just that. They have perimeters, they're zones, they're drawing lines in the sand. And we know this because when we begin to leave our comfort zones, we have tells. Our heart rate may increase. We may begin to feel defensive or even fearful. And so we retreat back into where we feel safe. You do that for long enough, and the body will begin to show signs of atrophy, the mind will show signs of stagnation, and the spirit will show its wear and tear through intolerance of what is new, or what is different, or what is changing. Things of beauty change, and they grow. I mean, look at the natural world, a flower, a moon, life changes constantly because God is a God of growth and exploration. God never stops creating. And we, simply put, are an integral part of God's creation. This morning's scripture is a continuation of last week's. Last week, Jesus has returned to his hometown. All is going really well. He reads from Isaiah, a passage they would have heard 1,000 times. Interestingly, though, he leaves out the verses that lay claim to vengeance on enemies. And Luke doesn't tell us that, and Luke doesn't mention what the reaction of the listeners would have been to that, but we can do our best to imagine. There were people then, just as there are today, who cannot imagine justice without punishment and revenge of those who were against them. But this isn't what turns the crowd against Jesus. In fact, at this point, they're all sitting back, enjoying, amazed at Jesus' maturity and wisdom. Hey, that's Joseph's kid, isn't it? A community was close, you know. He's one of us. He's making us all proud. His picture will surely appear in the IJ. And it'll mention one of the local high schools, and he'll go on to do big things, but he'll be representing our hometown. So we'll clip the photo, we'll hang it up on the refrigerator and take pride for us to see. It reminds me of what my mother used to say in the Bronx growing up. They would refer to Jesus as the kid. You'd walk into a Catholic church, you'd see Mary on the right, Joseph on the left, and the kid front and center. But this is where the scripture takes a turn. Jesus is the one who turns this all around. All the crowd did was say, hey, isn't this Joseph's kid? We are so proud to call you one of our own. But then Jesus predicts to them what they will say to him. Verse 23, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. Cure thyself, meaning, Jesus, do for us what you've done for others. Surely we should matter more. We've raised you. We've looked out for you. I brought your mother a casserole when she was sick. But Cahil Gibran said it so well when he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you." It would have been so nice if Jesus could have just said these nice words. But instead, Jesus is really harsh. No prophet is truly welcomed at home. And then he drives the point home with very specific examples. He reminds them that of all the widows, many of whom were in Israel, during a great famine, no less, the prophet Elijah was sent by God not to any of them, but to a widow in Sidon, in a foreign land. And then of all the lepers, Jesus reminds them that God could have sent Elisha to, he cleansed the Syrian. These are not people they like. And that's where it gets ugly. Jesus is professing what he knows to be true of his own people, that they are trying to claim him for themselves, but God is bigger than any of their claims. God is the God who crosses borders into foreign lands to heal. God doesn't stay inside any comfort zone because God knows no zones. As David Loos said so well, whenever you or I draw a line around who's in and who's out, we will find Jesus on the other side. I say that again. Whenever you or I draw a line around who's in and who's out, Jesus will be on the other side. Christ calls for us to leave our comfort zone and enter into relationship with that person or those people, whoever they are for us. Entering into relationship doesn't mean you have to have them over for dinner, although it might mean that. But first, it means leaving our comfort zone of everything that's familiar to us, of everything that we've known as home, even what you've known to be you. Jesus calls us to travel into a foreign land that asks you to begin to imagine what it means to be the other in all of their circumstances. The leper and the widow suffer the same no matter where they live, whether on our land or somewhere else. And when we read of Christians claiming that this nation is a Christian nation, as though it entitles them to something, this is the passage. This is the biblical passage that you get to point to as a reminder that God is a God of every nation. God is in every corner of this world, and as stewards of this planet, as caretakers, and as one body, we are called to care for our brothers and sisters here at home and abroad, next door and across oceans, across the street and across the dinner table with the uncle that no one likes, or at a wellness dinner when asked to sit in a circle and pray with people who seem foreign to us, pushing through discomfort, leaning into it. That's where growth of compassion and growth of empathy, that's where love is birthed. When we leave home, We leave our comfort zone and we grow alongside inextricably with a God who is always asking us to realize the fullest expression of who we can become with Christ. A God who is the growth process itself, the divine artist, ever creating us into new life. That new life that we are born into again and again, that new piece of you in Christ is called to serve through compassion and love. To serve is to be in communion with one another through Christ, who knows no boundaries, no foreign lands, because all land, all places are home to God. Now the crowd is so upset with Jesus for this that they try to throw him off a cliff. And when I read that, I thought, oh, that's just got to be some rhetorical device of Luke to make a point. I mean, they just got really angry, right? They just went home. But that's the literal Greek translation. They tried to throw him off a cliff. And so Luke didn't stop there. Luke made it violent. That would never happen, I thought. And then I remembered scenes from around the world and this country in the last few years, scenes of violence, people claiming white supremacy, citing KKK rhetoric, and as though we've learned nothing. I thought of bombs and gunmen in synagogues, as though nothing was learned from the Holocaust. Violence is not a rhetorical device used by gospel writers. It's a reflection of what happens when ideologies become extreme in their claim as God belonging only to them. Extremism is born somewhere. It's born at home, here. Here at home in the quiet places of our heart that says, they're not one of me. They're not my kind. Why would God travel to other lands to heal when we have our own suffering right here? Jesus tells us why. God is bigger than that. God is bigger than any one of us, bigger than any town, than any region, than any country, than any zone. This is Luke's gospel, often referred to as the social justice gospel, because of Jesus' love for the outsider, the one who takes us out of our comfort zone and asks us to leave the comfort of home and follow a God who takes us on the road into the foreign lands of our hearts, where all people are one with Jesus Christ. So if extremism is born here, then so is healing. Jesus said, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. As Christ's followers, we are called to follow him and to follow his love for us and then extend that love for others. We are called to love. We are called to serve in love for the neighbor, the one who has a fence around their house. We're called to open up that gate and enter into boundless love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Amen.